Hey, it's good to see y'all. Good to be here. Good to be able to teach this morning. Having a little trouble with my voice, as you might hear. So just bear with me on that. But anyways, it is great to be here. Thank y'all for not being at the lake today. But anyways, we're going to be continuing on in our sermon series on the book of Philippians, a study on trajectory. And we've been in this sermon series now for, 6 months or so. If it's not been that long, it maybe feels that way. But it's been a great, great series. And I really hope you guys have gleaned a lot of great things out of it. I know that you probably should know Philippians about as well as you know about any other book in the Bible at this point. But it's been great because it's only 4 chapters long, and we've been able to really dig in deep in what Paul is writing to the church of Philippi. And that's what this book is about. Paul is here in the later part of his life, and he's writing to the church at Philippi from prison. Paul's actually in prison. He's been arrested and held captive and charged with treason against Rome, and he's awaiting a hearing with Caesar himself. So Paul doesn't know if he's going to live, if he's going to die. And he's writing these words of encouragement, this letter of encouragement to the church in Philippi, encouraging them to keep their faith moving forward and giving them instruction on how to do so. And the really cool thing about this book is the point is that Paul is in prison, but we still call this book the book of joy because just throughout his writings, it's full of just things that you can just see joy in his writing. He regardless of his circumstances, he still has joy. You know, this book, Philippians, is full of big ideas, of kind of Christian punchlines, if you will. To live is Christ and to die is gain. I talked about that the last time I was up here talking. Stuff like, I count everything as loss. Or, as we're going to see in a week or so, a couple weeks, the whole phrase that you see on like eye black and like tennis shoes and stuff. I can do all things in Christ that gives me strength. These are like just some big like phrases that we know as Christians, but it's like, yeah, but how do we get there? You know, how do we get to the actual point? How do we get to the point to where we can truly say to live is Christ, but to die is to gain? That's kind of the tricky part here, because just everyday Christians sitting out there, it's just hard to say, well, Paul's like this super Christian, right? He's like he was here and we're like here and how do we get there? Well, today, hopefully, as Paul concludes this letter, as he starts to bring this letter to a close, he finally starts to give us some how-to, some application here. And hopefully we're going to start to learn what it's going to take to grasp these big ideas that he's talked about in the book. The last couple of weeks, if you were with us the last couple of weeks, Chris did a great job talking through Paul as he was addressing the church. And if you weren't here, be sure to check that out on the podcast. But 2 weeks ago, we talked about some conflict that was going on in the church, and Paul addressed it and addressed the importance of community and unity in the church. And then last week, we talked about rejoicing always in the Lord. Rejoice always in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. And then about in all situations and everything that we're a part of, to be reasonable. Paul's teaching us to be reasonable in our reactions, in our actions, to be reasonable. And then finally, and this is the point that really, I know really impacted a lot of people, because a lot of people deal with it. And I saw some emails and some Facebook posts and just some conversations that I had with some of you. I know that it was something that God dealt with you on. And that's when he said, do not be anxious in anything. Last week we talked about that God doesn't want us to be anxious, you know? And so I know that's a hard thing for a lot of people, because sometimes anxiety of life just gets to us, and it's just hard to, it's hard to get beyond that. Well, hopefully again, today, through these verses, hopefully today we'll start pointing in the direction of how we can do that, how we can get beyond those things, how we can grasp these big ideas that Paul's talked about. This scripture deals with the application and the how-to. And let me just say personally, from my personal experience, this scripture has really impacted me over the last couple weeks since I've been studying this. And that's a good thing about when you get to preach or teach, you really, it forces you to really get it and dig into the word, into a particular passage. And this passage has really impacted me and convicted me on my thought life, how intentional I am about my thoughts. And I pray it'll do the same for you today. We're going to go ahead and turn over in your Bibles to the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 8 and 9 is where we're going to be today. Now, I hope you have your Bible with you. If you don't, we've got plenty of Bibles in the back. Our ushers have got those right now. Please raise your hand if you need a Bible, and they'll bring you one. I'd like everybody to have a Bible if you can. So if you need a Bible, just raise your hand. If you don't have a Bible at home, or a good translation that's easy to understand, that's accurate, please just take this Bible with you as our gift. We want to make sure you have those at home that you can be reading through. So anybody else need a Bible? All right, if you'll turn then, the fourth chapter of Philippians, verses 8 and verses 9. And Paul is finally concluding his letter here, and he says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, I'm going to focus primarily on that first verse, verse 8 there today. I thought about it as I was trying to prepare on how to communicate this to you guys. I thought, well, I'm going to come out. I thought, I'm going to bring three or four people up here, and I'm going to try to hypnotize them. Then I thought, no, I found something on YouTube. You could, like, put it on the screen. It was like these squirrely things, and you just focused on it, and I could hypnotize the entire crowd. And then we were going to take offering. And the thing about hypnosis, I decided not to hypnotize you today. You're lucky. The thing about hypnosis is it's control of your mind. That's what it seeks to do. It seeks to control your mind from an outside source. And a good person that hypnotizes would be able to dig down deep into maybe levels of hidden levels of subconsciousness and pull things out that you may not even know were there. It can make you do crazy things, whatever. But because they control your mind. And that's kind of what Satan tries to do, and sin does. It hypnotizes us. It's kind of like we get the deer in the headlight look, and it's like we're just kind of blinded by what that thought is in our mind, and we just don't really realize what it's doing to us. But it's extremely harmful. There's an old... ancient, I guess, American Indian proverb that says that all of us were born with a black dog and a white dog inside of us. And those dogs, they fight. They fight. And the proverb goes on to say that the dog that wins is the dog that we feed the most. And that's so true. If you think about it, it's basically just saying that you know, there's good and evil, and whichever one that we feed is the one that wins out. What we put in our body what we expose ourselves, what we focus our thoughts on, that's what will affect the way we live. See, a man is truly defined by what he thinks. A man's not just truly defined by what he is. A man is truly defined by what he thinks. See, you can be one way and think another way, and the way that you just kind of appear to be, that's not who you are. See, I can stand up here and I can preach and I can say all the good Jesus words and everything, but if my mind is completely somewhere else, or if I'm caught up in some sin in my mind, then it's not real. And the same goes for you or anybody, that if you're just as you go through life, I mean, you may seem so successful. You may have it all together. You may be the greatest mom. You may be the greatest husband. You may seem that way, but there may be somewhere deep, dark in your mind, there may be a sin that's festering. What do you think about most of the time? What do you think about? Just think about it real quick. What do you concentrate? What do you think about most of the time? If you think about, well, that's hard for me because it's like you know, I'm thinking about work when I'm at work, and you know, it's everything's going crazy there, and I get home and it's like the kids, and it's trying to get somebody to ball practice, or it's like, it starts to just really make your head hurt because you think you're always thinking about so many things. So we're going to do a little exercise here for a second. If you'll pull the lights down just a little bit, if you don't mind. What are you thinking about right now? Right now, what are you thinking about? Here's what I want you to do. Take a deep breath. Deep breath. And exhale. Exhale for me. Clear your mind of everything. Try to completely vacate your mind. Don't think of anything. Got it? You're not thinking about anything right now? No, but you are. See, your mind's always working. Even if it's just like you're thinking about not thinking, you're still thinking about something. I got a movie clip that's going to kind of prove this. Hold on one second. Y'all watch this.
What do you mean, choose? We don't understand.
Choose the form of the destructor.
I get it. Very cute. Whatever we think of, if we think of J. Edgar Hoover, J. Edgar Hoover will appear and destroy us, okay? So empty your heads. Empty your heads. Don't think of anything. We've only got one shot at this.
The choice is made.
Whoa!
The traveler has come.
Nobody choose anything. Did you choose anything?
No.
Did you?
My mind is totally blank.
I didn't choose anything. I couldn't help it. It just popped in there.
What? What just popped in there?
I tried to think.
Look!
No! It can't be.
What is it?
It can't be.
What did you do, Ray?
The Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
You don't see every day.
I tried to think of the most harmless thing. Something I loved from my childhood. Something that could never, ever possibly destroy us.
Mr. Stay Puft.
Nice thinking, Ray.
We used to roast Stay Puft marshmallows by the fire at Camp Wakanda.
Ray has gone bye-bye, Egon. What have you got left?
Sorry, Beckman. I'm terrified beyond the capacity for rational thought.
Puss bucket.
Nobody steps on a church in my town.
One, two, three, roll up!
You gotta love the Ghostbusters, really. I mean, that is a classic. That is a classic. You're welcome, by the way. You're welcome. That was fun. But, you know, it's so true. If you think about it, it is absolutely true. You know, what we think about can destroy us. What we think about can destroy us. Now, it may not be a 50-foot marshmallow monster that destroys you, but maybe it's that lust that you have that no one else knows about. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's, I don't know, worry, envy. So these are called sins of the mind. Sins of the mind. These are and they're completely, completely dangerous because they happen here. And I'm talking about, I've got a list of them, but there's more than this. Pride, lust, greed, discouragement, worry. See, those are things that I, as your neighbor, I may never know that you're dealing with because they're hidden way up here. They're in our thoughts. I'm just not good enough. Oh, I just don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just so worried. I just don't know what to do. I just don't know. I mean, it appear that way outside, but inside it's tearing me up. See, all sin is birthed in our minds. Think about that. All sin is birthed in our minds. So that's why our thinking is so, so important. So important. See, we can hide sin in our minds, secretly tucked away for no one else to know but us. Let me ask you this, though. If a tree falls in the forest and no one's there to hear it, does it make a sound? Science tells us it absolutely makes a sound. Just because there's no one there, no one knows, it still makes a sound. And just because no one knows about your sin up here, it's still killing you just as much. But hey, Paul's giving us a solution right here. We get a solution from Paul. I need a volunteer real quick. Somebody to help me. You want to help me? Come on up, Jade. Jade, are you thirsty? You thirsty? Oh, I need somebody that's thirsty. You sure you're not thirsty? You could probably drink some water, couldn't you? Okay. You like water? Okay. This is Jade. She's doing a great job. I've got here a bottle of, feel that, it's cold. Isn't it cold? A bottle of Fiji natural artesian water. Now, this is good stuff. It's expensive stuff. But it's right. It's now it may come from a tap in Trenton, New Jersey. But for our purposes, we're going to say it's pure, untouched by human hands, like just like the bottle says. So this is pure, clean water, okay? I want you to just sit here and just have a good drink of it for me, okay? Just take, it's brand new. I just popped the seal, brand new water. Take a drink with that. Hold your top. I'll be right back. I got to run to the bathroom. Y'all just watch her drink, and I'll be right back, okay? Oh, I hope nobody's in here. Let's see. Is anybody in here? Okay. Quick. Oh, gross. All right, I got it. Let's go. Jade, I'm coming. Sorry. Sorry, Jade. Is that good water? Is it good? Pretty good water, isn't it? This is good old Tennessee toilet water. By the way, flush the toilet when you leave, please. That's what took me so long, so I had to flush the toilet. But this is Tennessee toilet water. This is good stuff. It stinks. We'll put a couple of drops in there. Okay. Shake it up real good. There you go. Now finish that bottle of water for me. Just take a good drink. What's wrong? You don't want it? All right. I don't blame you. I wouldn't drink it either. Give Jade a hand. Thank you so much. See, that's kind of what we do. We take something we have that's pure, and our minds may not even be that bad, but and as Christians, we've been made new through Christ. But what we do, though, is we just take just a little bit. We just take just a little bit of sin, a bad thought, and we add it to that water, and it makes everything filthy. It makes our mind filthy. And what comes out is filth. And I'm going to get into that a little bit further in a minute, but let's turn in your Bibles to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. Book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 17 through 24. I'll give you a second to turn that to that. The book right before Philippians. Ephesians 4, 17 through 24. I'm just going to read the scripture, and then I'm just going to really summarize what Paul's saying. This is Paul, by the way, same author of Philippians. He's just writing to a different church. He says in verse 17, "Now this I say, and I testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of heart. They have become callous and given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way that you learned Christ, assuming that you've heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to the former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirits of your mind, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." And basically what Paul's saying here is he's saying, Christians, we do not walk in the futility of our minds. We're not to walk in the futility of our minds. See, when we let our minds be that way, when we just kind of let our minds go, we give ourselves over to sensuality, to things that appease our minds, and greed and impurities. But see, this is not, Paul says, this is not what we learn from Christ. But instead, we're to put off our old self and to be renewed. We're to renew the spirit of our minds. See, in Christ, we can put on our new self, created in the likeness and holiness of God. And that's what's cool, is because of what Jesus has done, we can put on our new self and we're now created in the likeness and holiness of God. See, that's the answer. That's the answer. That's the answer of, okay, how do I get up here? How do I get up here to this whole, like, to live is Christ and to die is to gain? How do I get up here to where I believe that I can do all things in Christ that gives me strength? This is the answer. See, if in Christ we're to put off our old, futile way of thinking and daily renew our minds in what Christ has done for us. If you look back in Philippians and flip over a few pages back over to Philippians, back at the verse that we're focusing on today in chapter 4, verse 8, he says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellent, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." If you have a New American Standard version of the Bible, I like what it says. It says all these things, and it says to dwell upon these things. If you were to take the Greek word is actually probably closest related to our word for ponder, to ponder. And it kind of gives a picture of somebody that was maybe sitting down at a desk to really study an intense and complex mathematical equation. So we're to ponder these things. We're to sit down and study and ponder these things like we would a mathematical equation. But what are these things that we're talking about? When I say these things, what am I talking about? Well, it says true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, worthy of praise. Puppy dogs. I like puppy dogs. Rainbows. And the girl you sit next to in class. Your kids. Your husband. Let me just real quickly tell you that what this message is not. This message is not a message on the importance or the power of positive thinking. This is not that message. This is not, what I'm talking about is not the importance or the power of positive thinking. It goes way beyond that. This message is the importance and the power of gospel thinking. See, that's what we got to do. That's the answer. See, the only thing is true. I mean, puppy dogs are cute, and we love our kids, and that girl you sit next to in class is very pretty, and she's nice and all that, but the only thing that is true, that's honorable, that's just, that's pure, that's lovely, that's commendable, the only thing that is that is Jesus and God and His Word. So that's where our thoughts have to ponder and dwell. It's not just okay just to ponder and dwell on rainbows. We have to ponder and dwell and think about these things, and these things are the gospel. See, we must, and I'm going to teach you today how to preach. I'm going to teach you how to preach to yourself the gospel. And it's much more important than what I'm doing up here today. It's more important that we preach to ourselves daily. And we have to preach the gospel to ourselves. But how? How do we do that? First of all, and the most important thing, is that we understand and clearly understand and know what the gospel is. What is the gospel? That's a big word we kind of use around here a lot. Love God, love people, live gospel. Or we want to be a gospel-centered church, or it's the gospel, it's all about the gospel, or, you know, you hear that, and maybe you've been coming here a while, and you've got a great understanding of that, and I hope so. Maybe you're new, or maybe the whole Christianity thing's new to you, or maybe you're just kind of seeking, you don't know, and you just don't know what the gospel is, or what's meant by the gospel, or what the big deal is about the gospel. I'm going to go over that right now. What is the gospel? The gospel is the story of a just and loving God that has seen his creation rebel against him, that's seen his creation that he loves so much turn against him. And not only just turn against him, but actually become his enemy. And that's what we've done in our sin. It's a story of, because of our sin, that we deserve death and separation and hell. Separation from a holy God. But he's a God that pursues us anyways. It's a story of a God that created a way of redemption through the torture and death of his only perfect Son. It's a story of a Savior that willfully took the sins of the entire world and bore them on the cross. It's a story of a man that defeated death so that we might live again, clothed in his robe of righteousness. What's the gospel? It's a story of a God that takes what's broken and ugly and nasty and makes it new again through his love. That's the gospel. Let's not get all complicated about it. It's simple. But what we don't need to do, we don't need to make it about us. And that's so many times what we do. When we try to say, well, sure, Jesus does those things, but I've got to do this, or I've got to do that, or I can't do this, or I can't do that, then it becomes about us. And the gospel is not about us, with the exception of the fact that we're joined the gospel story when we have faith in Jesus, and we're able to join that story. But the gospel is simple. It's the redemptive story, good news story of what Jesus has done on our behalf when we deserved it the least. It's not about what we've done or we can do. Well, how do we preach this gospel? When you came in, I think the ushers there at the doors gave you a handout. If you pull that out real quick, notice on it, first thing I noticed was that I misspelled Philippians twice. It's all good though. You get the point. This side right here says, preach to yourself daily. Preach to yourself daily. And this is by no means an exhaustive list or anything. It's just an aid. I wanted to provide you guys with an aid on how do we preach to ourselves. Well, this is a good start. These scriptures, these passages right here, like I said, they're not the only passages by any means in the Bible that talk about the gospel. The entire Bible is itself works together to do that. But these passages take the central idea of the gospel and really summarize it very well. And they're a great way for us to read these every day, or to maybe memorize them. I would challenge you to memorize these and think on these things. And as you read these, the things that come from them, you know, the first one says, for our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God. Imagine sitting down and pondering that, how that affects your thought life. If you sit down and dwell on that. So this is just a resource of some scriptures you can take, just put in your Bible and use daily. On the backside of it says food for thought. That's exactly what this is. This is just a quick narrative of the gospel. It's a quick summary of what God's done for us through Jesus. And it's very helpful just to sit down and read that and remind yourself of that every once in a while. Actually, to do it every day. I've also got one more resource here for you. I want to thank Amy Whitfield for turning me on to this. This is called a gospel primer, a gospel primer. And it's a book that just goes through the basics of the gospel and reminds us of the gospel. And it's a great read. It's a real short read. There's a section in here that you can read in 5 minutes that just absolutely spells out the gospel very accurately and reminds us of what Jesus did for us. It's a way to preach to ourselves. Actually, we've purchased a bunch of these copies of this book. We've got it out on the welcome desk. I really strongly encourage you and challenge you to go buy one of these today before you leave. Take it with you and read this. Read it every day. And with the scriptures that you also read. But that's so through memorization, through reading, through prayer, we can always preach the gospel to ourselves in those ways. In conclusion, I just want to tell you a story. It's a story of an old lady named Mary. Mary lived in Chicago. In fact, Mary had a nickname. They called her Garbage Mary. See, she lived in an old high-rise apartment, but it was absolutely filled with junk to the ceiling. See, you've seen the show Hoarders? Well, Mary was like times 10, and it was just, it was trash. It wasn't necessarily even just junk. It was trash. They called her Garbage Mary. See, the stories of Mary is that she, she would wear the same clothes day after day. She'd never change hardly. You know, Mary would be in dumpsters and collect things that she found in dumpsters and get out old food and take it back to her apartment. And after the years, it just filled up with trash and garbage. Mary was a smoker, but she never bought a pack of cigarettes. Mary would just find butts that were used and try to smoke just a little bit off those cigarette butts. The tragic thing was that Mary died a few years ago, and the story was that the city of Chicago had to bring in a crew, and it took 3 weeks to pull everything out of her apartment. It was just that bad, that filthy, rat infested, nasty. But the interesting thing was is that one of the workers, and he was digging through trash, probably buried underneath no telling what, he found a file folder. In that file folder, there were stock certificates and bank records that showed that Mary was worth millions of dollars. She was worth millions of dollars. And see, that's so sad. That's just absolutely sad. But it's so true. And it's true for us because, see, we may not be like Mary. We may not have just all this trash and junk in our house. But, you know, it's in our minds. See, we were given an inheritance. We were, if you know Jesus, you're clothed in his robe of righteousness. You have Jesus' righteousness. But we choose to live in squander up here. Our thoughts don't reflect that. Our thoughts are full of trash. See, we're offered good, pure, cool water. We choose to drink toilet water. See, Satan wants to turn your mind into a cesspool of filth and have your mind occupied with which can corrupt, defile, spoil your body, and distort your life, ultimately lead to sin. But see, the good news is Paul has presented us here with a practical solution on how to grow in godliness, how to get to this whole, these big ideas, these to live is Christ and to die is gain. See, Paul gives us a solution right here in this verse. If we want to grow in godliness, we better learn to win the battle over our minds. See, all sin is birthed here. All sin is birthed in our minds. But the answer lies in that we dwell in the story, that we dwell, that we ponder the story of the redemptive work of Jesus. If you've never had your life changed by that story, the story of the gospel, the story we talked about, if you've never had your life changed by this story, it will absolutely change you. And if you've never had your life changed in that way, by that story, we're going to have pastors, we're going to have counselors up here right after the service that would absolutely love to talk to you and explain to you about more about this story and how it can change your life. But if you're a Christian here today, if you know Jesus as your Savior, and you've been changed by God's story, but you're having a hard time living it out, it's up here. See, you have to change your mind. You have to change your mind. See, we can talk about living gospel and loving God, living people, and living gospel. But let me just say, you have to think gospel. You have to think gospel before you can live gospel. Let me pray for us. God, thank you so much for your word that you've given us, God. I pray that it convicts our heart and convicts our mind, God, and it will be changed through your word. God, I thank you for what you did through Jesus, God, and the fact that even though we didn't deserve it, God, even though we're your enemy, God, you had the ultimate sacrifice and gave your son for our behalf. God, I pray that drives our life, God, and we use it, God, and worship you now. We love you, and we pray this in your son's name. Amen.